Markakis quietly, he goes. 2-2 pitch, line to second, caught by Kelly Johnson. He'll tag out Jones, who is running. He'll tag out Markakis, who is running to him. Call it to a double play.
One of four turned by the Blue Jays tonight. The only one that was not on a ground ball. Make that one of three, pardon me, turned by the Blue Jays tonight. And that one, especially cool, because Nick Markakis had led off the bottom of the sixth with a walk, the third that Kyle Drabek issued tonight. And no, sorry, that was the fourth double play. My bad. Four double plays, three on the ground. But then Markakis took off, and because Markakis took off, Kelly Johnson had to go to second to cover the bag. And because Kelly Johnson was at second covering the bag, that line drive that Adam Jones hit was right at him. And instead of it being a single to center field, it was a line drive double play, took the Orioles out of the inning, at least had them two out, nobody on, and they didn't wind up scoring. But it didn't matter because the Blue Jays didn't score any runs. Can't win a game if you don't score any runs, and you're not going to win too many if you only score one. And the Blue Jays have scored one run in the last two games in Baltimore following their four-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals. They fall 3-0 tonight. Kyle Drabek's first loss of the season. And it continues the pattern for the Blue Jays. Every time they have lost after a win, they have followed that with another loss. But they've never lost more than two in a row. And as bleak as things look because of the last two games, remember the four before. And remember the fact that they're a game out of first place. This is the Blue Jays Talk. I'm Mike Wilner, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Zach in Toronto. Zach, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. Oh. I just kind of want to echo your sentiment that people just sort of need to chill out. You know what I mean? It's 18 games. If the bats aren't going just yet, it's not the worst thing that could happen. Seeing young pitchers like Drabek and Alvarez doing their thing and putting in good quality starts is so much more important at this point of the season.
You know what? Alan Ashby and Jerry Howarth were talking about it in the close of the broadcast and said better to have no offense and great pitching than to be winning a bunch of games 10-8.
For sure.
Because you know that that kind of offense isn't going to sustain itself and you got to be worried about a lack of good pitching. It's been so gratifying to see how well Alvarez has pitched because he's kind of solidifying what we all thought about him in that small 10-start sample of last year. And it's been great to see Kyle Drabek come out and pitch well. So many people who've called this show just completely wrote him off over the winter and after last June. And at 24 years old, he has a tremendous future ahead of him.
People just expect this like immediate gratification, and they just sort of need to understand this is just baseball. It's not puck. You know what I mean? This is a war of attrition, and the Jays look to be in good shape.
Well, you know what? Even in hockey, if you win every other game, you're probably going to make the playoffs, assuming that enough of your losses go to overtime, which is I don't want to get into that ridiculous.
Yeah, keep it baseball.
Right. Some games are worth more than others. But the truth of the matter is you can't go nuts after every loss because you'll just kill yourself because no matter how good a team is, the Blue Jays have had one season in their entire franchise history in which they've lost fewer than 66 games, which is 11 a month, which is almost three a week. And that's really, really good if you can do that.
Absolutely.
And you're going to lose a lot of games. Thank you, Zach. I appreciate it. Good to get a rational call after a shutout loss, as opposed to the guys going negative first up after the opening day win in 16 innings. Larry is in Toronto. Hello, Larry. What a show that was, by the way. I have to tell you, Hello, Larry was one of my favorite shows of the 1970s.
Good to know. I think, they're playing. They have a few players who are, I find, very soft mentally.
Tell me how that translates. How are you seeing softness, mental softness?
I guess Adam Lind, Kobe Rasmus, you know.
What about their games are showing you that they are soft mentally? It surely can't be not getting hits.
Well, I guess I guess a key moments I find they don't come through. You know, the kid today. I know the home run. To me, you should have caught that ball
today.
You know, it was a catchable ball. I thought.
What are you talking about? Today?
Run. Yeah, today. Yeah.
The ball that was like 15 feet over Kobe Rasmus's head in center field?
No, it wasn't. When you watch your replay, it really was.
There is no chance. Maybe Kareem Abdul-Jabbar catches that ball. Maybe. But that's about it.
Yeah, you know what?
You got to come with something better than that.
Let me ask you this.
All right.
What point is even Aaron Sebia, you know, what point do you make a move and not play him 3 out of 4 games?
Certainly not 18 games into the season. And J.P. Arencibia is one of your hottest bats. He came into today 7 for his last 15.
Yeah, okay. You know, I guess so. I think they have a lot of, you know, the kid in the minors now, the center fielder who's doing really well.
Anthony Gose?
No, he was with the Jays last
year. Travis Snyder's not a center fielder.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he does if he gets a shot, you know. It's not that. I think Rasmus has a lot of potential, the kid. But I'm just not sure, you know, that there's lots of excellent athletes with talent, but can they put it together mentally and become a complete great player? I'm not sure this kid can. He was let go from St. Louis for a certain reason.
You know, Yes, he was. Tony La Russa didn't like him.
St. Louis is a winning organization. I guess since the Jays, you know, when the Jays won it all,
yes,
they had an attitude, I guess is my point. And I don't find this team has an attitude. A few players do. Like the third baseman, that kid's tremendous.
When the Blue Jays won it all, they had a crap load of talent. They had a ton of all-stars. They had a great team. I was going to say top to bottom, but you know what? It wasn't top to bottom because they still had guys who couldn't hit on that team. Guys like Manny Lee, guys like Pat Borders, who couldn't hit and who people would be calling now if they were on the team now, trying to run them out of town. The notion that because guys don't get big hits in big situations, they're mentally soft, kind of means that you believe that guys who are mentally strong get big hits in big situations, and yet that's not the case. Pretty much everybody in the history of baseball, no matter how good they are, is going to fail 60% of the time, at least 60% of the time. Big situations, not big situations. And it bears reminding, because I know things like actual facts don't matter. Kobe Rasmus should have caught that home run. Neil Armstrong maybe has a chance catching that home run. But in saying that, the Blue Jays currently lead the major leagues in batting average with runners in scoring position. Just let's get that out there so everybody knows. We're going to take a look at the scoreboard as we continue with the Honda Post Game Show. Let you know that the Yankees are losing. Tampa is winning. We already know Baltimore won. But it's too early for scoreboard watching. Fun night across Major League Baseball. Some cool stuff went on. And we will take more of your phone calls on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and sportsnet590.ca. where we are currently streaming live. Going all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern, the Blue Jays talk. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network.
There's a drive to deep left field. Thames back at the wall, looks up, and this one is out of here. Chris Davis goes oppo as he hits a two-out home run here in the fourth inning. The second one of those the Orioles have gotten tonight, and they now lead it 2-0.
Kobe Rasmus probably should have caught that one, too. Two solo homers were all the damage off of Kyle Drabek tonight. A very, very good outing for him. And as Alan Ashby mentioned right after that call, Davis slammed his bat down and kind of swore at himself after hitting that ball, thinking that he just popped up and it carried out to left field. The Blue Jays didn't hit anything that carried out to left field. No runs for them as they're shut out for the first time. They've scored once in two games in Baltimore, and for the second time this season, the Blue Jays face Baltimore Bruins, and they're going to send Drew Hutchison out to the mound, who doesn't know any better. His second start of his major league career. Should be fun against struggling Orioles lefty Brian Mattis. Expect an entirely different lineup for the Blue Jays tomorrow night against the lefty. And I believe Mattis was the guy they beat in their one win against the Orioles. Yeah, he gave up 5 runs on 7 hits and 5 2/3. Brett Laurie took him deep. So did Edwin in that 9-2 win over the Orioles back on April 15th, which is the only time they've beaten the Orioles in 5 starts this year. That's okay. I mean, it's not okay, but it's done. There's nothing you can do about it. They only play the Orioles 13 more times this year. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're going to 11 o'clock, and then Jeff Sammet and Rick Natras will take over with hockey tonight. There's some sort of playoff hockey games or something going on I think they're going to want to talk about. Till then, talk some baseball. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. I put it out on the Twitter asking the folks if Manute Bol or Neil Armstrong had a better chance of catching that home run that Wilson Benamete hit in the second inning, because caller suggested that Colby Rasmus should have caught that ball, and he didn't because he's mentally soft. It was 25 feet over his head. And at Filosa Jays fan says, I'm going with the Green Giant. I think so. You know what? With a little serving of cauliflower and butter sauce afterwards, make all 10,415 people happy at Camden Yards. Let's go to Benjamin in Thornhill. Benjamin, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
And that was really encouraging because Henderson Alvarez and Trey Beck were roughed up a little bit last outing, and they did really well for themselves so far. So that's really good, and I think that's the key that should be taken out, because starting pitching was kind of where everybody thought the weakness would be, and so far only slightly past 10% of the season, but so far that seems to be this club's strength. So that's the first thing. The second thing I really wanted to say, that last call before 10 o'clock was just really a joke. The mental toughness thing, I don't know what he's talking about. Just because you hit a bunch of pop-ups because your timing is off doesn't mean you're mentally weak. That's obviously clearly, voiced out of frustration. So I thought that was a bit ridiculous. Although I will say, though, the home run that Colby Rasmus was close to catching and Buck and Pat were saying on the television cast, were saying that it's about maybe a foot away from him catching it.
It might not have been 25 feet over his head, but there was no chance he was catching that ball.
Yeah, there's obviously no chance. You give it a really good stab. The wall was low there. I mean, he's obviously not going to catch it, but I mean, it was like maybe a foot and a half away. There's a last thing I want to say, and I just want to talk about the Baltimore Orioles really quickly. I've only seen them five games, right?
Yep.
And they seem, their bullpen seems, much better, much improved. They've got some arms there, with Jim Johnson, and they've got some guys that can reach the high 90s there. I haven't seen Baltimore like that for a while. Their offense seems solid, but their offense has come out strong, I think, in years past, and then has kind of fallen off. Adam Jones had a couple hot starts, and then he kind of faltered off.
Yeah, but their problem for the most part has been their starting pitching. I mean, their offense has been fine through the years. Not great, but fine. But their starting pitching has really let them down, and the bullpen's had issues. I mean, they've had Johnson for a few years, but he seems to have come into his own a little more the last couple of years. This Pedro Strop looks like he can really throw.
Yeah, really.
But Matt Lindstrom, I mean, we saw him hit 100, I think, tonight a couple of times. He's a guy who struggled in Colorado the last couple of years and in Florida, which was a really good pitcher's park. So you wonder if he's pitching over his head a little bit. And, of course, they've got Kevin Gregg. You know, we can't forget that.
Who everybody thinks is awful, but is not really quite awful.
Right, but
all.
He's not good.
He's not good, right.
I'm still confident that the Baltimore Orioles will finish a very solid last in the American League East this year.
You know what? I'm not going to disagree. I don't think they're going to, I think they're going to be last. I don't think they're going to be, you know, 20 games last.
Oh, I do.
I think they're going to be a little bit more solid than people give them credit for. The last thing I just want to say is I know we're on pace for I think 90 wins right now.
Yeah, they've won 5 out of every 9, so that's a 90 win pace through 160 games.
90 win
so
pace.
So 90-91.
Okay, that's good. Through 160. So the thing is that I think a lot of people, you know, you win 4 in KC in Kansas City, and, you know, you're really excited for good reason. You're really excited. And, you know, I mean, a lot of the fans, I mean, I see from Twitter and I hear the phone calls on Chase Talk. I mean, they go from one extreme to the other extreme, from one extreme to the other extreme. There's a reason why, you know, this team is clearly, and obviously anybody that follows any kind of baseball, you know, that's obvious. But there's a reason why people say that this team is not favored to get into the playoffs. It's because, you know, it's not stacked, you know. There's potential all-stars every position, but it's not stacked with all-stars you know are going to be there. The potential's there, but this is what you get when you are building a club. Some people are going to have strong seasons. Some people are not going to have strong seasons. You know, you can't expect everybody to perform all at once. And the thing is that there's a lot to look forward to here. But, you know, you win 4 in KC, you're not going to be facing Kansas City 22 or 23% of the time. That's not going to be your season. The Jays should be happy. They're 10-8, no doubt. 10-8. But the fact of the matter is that I think they started off their season with a Cleveland Indians team that lost, I think, 4 of their first 6. They swept 4 in Kansas City, and they took the series from the struggling Boston club, which is great. Again, 10-8 is nothing to be, you know, upset about. But again, people should know the next time they sweep a series or they win 2 or 3, just relax and take it easy, because these disappointments, you know, they're gonna happen. This team hopefully gets into the playoffs, but just enjoy the excitement of seeing, you know, Brett Laurie hang in there at 22 years old. Enjoy the excitement of seeing Henderson Alvarez pitch at a whip of 1.1 or under or something like that, which is insane. Kyle Drabek. But you know what I mean? It's these nights are frustrating because, you know, it's people aren't used to seeing, you know, 14 straight innings where you don't score a run, or 15 straight innings where you don't score a run.
It's true. But, Benjamin, you know, I got to let you go because I got a lot of other people to get to, and I appreciate the call. I do. 15 straight innings without a run. Kyle Drabek's 24 years old and doing a great job. It's all true. But you can't have it both ways on the Royals and Indians. I mean, let's remember, too, that Cleveland came into tonight in first place in the AL Central also. That's one. But, yes, it was Kansas City that they beat 4 straight. But had they split that series, people would be throwing themselves off tall buildings. So you can't expect a sweep. You can't. You just can't. Baseball doesn't work that way. But you're right. Everything you said, for the most part, was right, and I appreciate it. Saskatoon, Hal, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
You're listening to it. Where are you listening to us, Hal?
Where am I what?
Where are you listening to us? Are you online? Are you in your local radio?
No, I'm on satellite.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Before I get to my main question, I just want to say that Colby Rasmus is a ball player. He could play on my team any day of the week. I mean, he can go get the ball. He's a fantastic base runner. He's got a good arm, and his hitting is going to come around. I think he's an excellent, excellent ball player.
As do I.
Yep. And the other thing,
have
the Jays, thought about giving Snyder some reps at first base?
No, please don't say that. Why would you put Travis Snyder, who is clearly a much, much better defensive outfielder than, say, Eric Thames, Why would you put Snyder at first base?
Well, I'm not saying you put him at first base. I'm just saying that if he could play first base, it would give him more options and the Blue Jays more options.
But why would you take a really good defensive outfielder and put him at first base? Why wouldn't you take, say, one of your poorer defensive outfielders and move him if you're worried about first base?
Well, I would just like to have Travis's bat in the lineup, and if there's a poor outfielder, then don't put him in the lineup. I would like to see both Thames. And Snyder in the lineup.
Who would you like to see not in the lineup?
Well, if Lynn falters, I mean, they could put him. You could have a left-hand batter and a right-hand batter as DH.
But Lynn is out hitting Thames right now.
Well, okay, then put Lynn in left field. But you wouldn't want to do that and have Travis at
first base. You could have Lynn in first base and Travis in left. Thanks for the call, Hal. I appreciate it. I appreciate the creative potential solutions, but let's not talk about moving Travis Snyder to first base. Thank you. Couple of phone lines are open still. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Kim is in Brampton. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on Brett Laurie.
Sure.
Being DH tonight and everything, he's so hyper. And do you think that hinders him at all that he's not out there playing third base for the team? Or
no, I was actually really looking forward to I had hoped that they would put an isolation camera just on Brett Laurie in the dugout to see if he would actually be bouncing off the walls. Because there's got to be something that he does with all that pent-up energy when he's got to sit for half a game. So I wonder. But he seemed to be okay. I mean, what did he do? He got a single, he reached on an error, and he had a couple of double play balls, one of which he beat out. So it was an okay night for him on a night when the whole team didn't do especially well. But he hit .250 for the night, which is a lot better than most of his teammates.
Yeah, and we just love to watch him play. So,
well, how can you not?
That's great. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate the call. Just keeping an eye on the Tampa Angels game, and it looked like Vernon Wells might have just beaten out a ground ball to shortstop that would have put the tying run on first for the Angels, but he was called out. And there you see two former Blue Jay greats in the same shot, both cursing the first base umpire, Vernon Wells and Alfredo Griffin, who is the first base coach of the Tampa Bay Rays, of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So Fernando Rodney's got one out and a runner on second base and a 3-2 lead for the Rays in the top of the ninth. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll continue to take your phone calls at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. More of the Blue Jays talk as we continue on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Pitch to play, grounded towards short, slowly hit. Escobar will glove, go to the bag at second, and fire on to Lynn to complete the double play. Six unassisted, three on that double play. First turn on the night for either side.
First of four turned by your Toronto Blue Jays tonight behind Kyle Drabek. Well, three of them behind Kyle Drabek, one of them behind Evan Crawford. Interestingly, all three double plays into which the Baltimore Orioles hit, with Kyle Drabek on the mound, were done immediately after a walk. So how about that? Drabek walks three, next hitter hits into a double play three times. The Jays only hit into two, but the second one was hit into by Brett Laurie. It was amazing that they could turn it with him busting up the line. And it ended the game with two on when Laurie was the tying run. He was 1-for-4 tonight Eric Thames was 2 for 4 tonight. Adam Lind was 1 for 3. Jose Bautista was 1 for 4. And Yunel Escobar, Kelly Johnson, Colby Rasmus, and J.P. Arencibia combined to go 0 for 14 as the Blue Jays were shut out 3-0 by the Baltimore Orioles, wasting a very, very good start by a starting pitcher for the second straight night. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Going all the way to 11 o'clock, then Jeff Salmon and Rick Natras will take over, and they will discuss all things hockey, because the show is called Hockey Tonight. So they kind of have to do that. And the Boston Bruins are in overtime right now with the Washington Capitals, and it appears as though the Washington Capitals have just scored. We don't talk much hockey here on the Blue Jays Talk, but yes, the Washington Capitals have just eliminated the Stanley Cup champions. So congratulations to the Capitals. See if we can get you the goal scorer. But the Washington Capitals move on to round two. That means somebody scored, I think. And the defending Stanley Cup champs are out. So that's, well, that's enough hockey talk. Mitchell in Brampton, let's get it back to the baseball.
Yeah, hi.
Hello.
Yeah, okay, so I was just going to give a comment on Evan Crawford.
Sure.
Well, I like his style a lot, and I think he has a really good curveball, so I was wondering if they were going to think about keeping him up here for a while.
Oh, I think they're definitely going to be keeping him up here for a while. They love him.
Yeah?
Yeah, they love him, and it seems like with good reason. I mean, the kid's got ice in his veins. He is... He's been very successful all the way up ever since they put him in the bullpen, had a terrific spring training, has looked very good in two of his three outings so far in the big leagues. They like him a lot. Would not surprise me at all if Evan Crawford became what Darren Oliver is here to do this year once Oliver goes away after this year. It was Joel Ward, by the way, Joel Ward who scored the goal for the Washington Capitals to eliminate the Boston Bruins, thanks to our crack staff and to @GoStewart25 on the Twitter for letting us know. Don't ask me to analyze what this means in the NHL or who's going to play who now in the next round. I have no idea. But that's okay. Not what I'm here for. I'm here to talk Blue Jays with Robin Markham. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. You know what? It was a tough loss today. We got shut out. But the reality is, it's a young squad. Everybody's got to put that in their heads. They're a young squad. And guys, we're going to be playing till September. We got to go to each series positive, swing those bats, because right now the bats are the issue. Batista's got to get his confidence back up. Our new center field there.
Rasmus?
He's been playing. He stepped it up. Same with Johnson there. We just got to have a little faith with these guys. That's all. We just got to believe and keep them believing. They're a young squad. That's all I got to say. I'm a season ticket holder. I've seen these guys play since mid last year, and we got a good team. We're in a tough division, and hopefully we're going to get past that.
All right. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it. John Lott of the National Post, the great writer, is in Baltimore and just tweeting some of the quotes from the clubhouse. Kyle Drabek said after the game, "We've got a great hitting club. Today we just happened not to score any. I'm not worried about them at all." Kyle Drabek's not worried about them at all. Nor should you be. These things happen over the ebb and flow of 162 games. You're going to get two games in a row where you score one run. You're going to get 15-inning runs where you don't score. And that's what the Blue Jays are on right now. But like Rob said, and he's right, this is a young team, and this is a developing team, and this is a team that is building towards something. Nobody had any rational reason to believe that the Blue Jays should be favored to make the playoffs this year. That doesn't mean they won't. That doesn't mean they can't. But what it means is you shouldn't expect them to go out and win 75% of their games. Right now they're 10-8. They've won 5 out of every 9. That's a 90-plus win pace over the course of a full season. Shea is in Hamilton. Is that right, Shea?
That's right.
All right, welcome aboard.
Hi, nice to talk to you, Mike. I totally agree with you on Alvarez and Drabek having really good starts. They just didn't get the run support. But my question for you, if I could get your take, is why in the ninth inning, Lind gets on, then Thames gets on. Yep. Why do you pinch hit Davis for Thames
pinch
as
run.
Opposed to Davis for Lind? Or pinch run, yeah, sorry.
I don't know. And I wondered about that myself. What may have happened was that John Farrell might have forgotten that Baltimore tacked on that third run in the ninth inning. I hope that didn't happen, but those things can happen. Mm-hmm. It didn't make any sense to me to pinch run Rajay Davis there for Eric Thames, who was not the tying run. There's no point in pinch running him for Adam Lind because two guys behind Lind have to score, so it doesn't matter how fast he is, and you don't manage to stay out of a triple play. But I don't know. I don't know why Davis was pinch running for Eric Thames in the ninth inning.
Okay. Well, that's my question. Thanks.
Yeah. Sorry. And so far I haven't seen any quotes tweeted from John Farrell about it. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, you would have thought that if Edwin Encarnacion had reached base, then he would be the guy to get pinch run for because he's the tying run. Although Edwin has shown some nice speed this year, he's no Rajay Davis. You're not going to pinch run for Brett Laurie or for Colby Rasmus. I don't know why that happened. Getting a tweet from at MattWoo1. And by the way, when the Jays are on the road, and I'm not, it is easy for me to keep an eye on Twitter and do the Blue Jays talk because I have two screens to work with. When they're at home, I only have one screen to work with, so it's very hard to keep an eye on the Twitter. But I can keep an eye on the Twitter when they're on the road. And at MattWoo1 tweets, is Edwin Encarnacion hurt? My answer is, I hope not. But he did roll his ankle pretty bad on that last swing that he took on the fly ball to center field in the ninth inning. He still did manage to jog down to first. So it wasn't like, you know, he doesn't have a broken ankle or anything. And I would be surprised if it was really, really, really ripped up. But I don't know. We'll see tomorrow after he gets treatment on it tonight, see if it swells up, see what happens. But I don't know. Daryl is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays talk.
Michael, good evening to you.
Thank you, Daryl. Go ahead.
You know what? First of all, a shout out to John Lott, my former journalism teacher. Early 80s, Centennial College.
Yes, John Lott's one of the best in the business.
Oh, taught me a lot. Too bad I didn't finish. But anyway, I wanted to ask you about something. I felt like the interview kind of has flown, or at the time flew under the radar screen. Is Anthopoulos mentioning he was quite eager and interested in going after a middle-of-the-order bat right now?
I don't think he used the words quite eager at all.
Well, he declared he'd like to get one.
Jim Bowden on ESPN asked him what he's looking for, and he said he'd like to add a middle-of-the-order bat.
Okay. So let's say that that's true.
Okay.
Do you not think that that means, if you try to do the math of the way this lineup is set up now. Do you not think that if that is the case, he's not looking to get a guy that's going to be a pinch hitter. He's talking about the guy that's probably an everyday player. Do you not think that means that Snyder and Thames aren't in the equation for him at left field?
No.
No?
Did he say he was going after a left fielder?
No, that's what I'm saying.
No, so I think that...
But the other options are what? You move that DH of ours out, or you move the first baseman out?
That's an option.
Okay.
That's an option. Adam Lind has not performed like a middle-of-the-order hitter with the exception of a two-month period last season since 2009. So I don't think that there should be any hesitation to try to improve on that position or on left field for now. Or DH. You know, Edwin's off to a pretty good start, but you're looking for a big-time middle-of-the-order hitter, and I don't think that the Blue Jays have anybody who would qualify to be that except for Jose Bautista.
No, I agree. And most importantly, that bobblehead I saw on TV last night of yours. Is that for real?
That's pretty funny. I know that the bobblehead actually made its way onto a spot on TV last
night.
There are two in existence in two different modes of dress.
Okay.
We have not seen the casual wear bobblehead yet on the television.
Are you really that good looking, by the way?
It looks nothing like me. It looks nothing like me. It looks like me in 10 years, 20 pounds heavier, I think. Okay. That's what I'm going to say.
We'll let you go.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it a lot. It is the Blue Jays talk. Jays losing 3-0 to the Orioles. Let's go to Dave in Toronto on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good evening, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
How do I compete with a guy that has a bobblehead?
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? Never in my life did I ever imagine that I would have a bobblehead.
10 years on the Jays talk. There you go, right?
I'm telling you.
Listen, you know what? I wanted to ask you what you thought about, it's a minor thing tonight, but I sometimes get a little frustrated watching Escobar. He seems for a guy that kind of, he has a bit of a history of sulking a little bit and kind of lacking a little bit of maturity out there. And he kind of had a bit of a problem with that, I think, in Atlanta that got him moved out of town. He's shown a little bit of that where he gets a little flaky, doesn't run out balls sometimes and kind of sulks in certain situations. And I found it interesting tonight that when Adam Jones came in and came in a little bit hard to try to break up that double play, that John Farrell came over to the dugout after he made an error and was trying to calm him down a bit, and he seemed he was talking for about 3 or 4 innings, almost looked like he took it to the plate a couple times, and it kind of got him distracted. And I guess, I mean, he's struggling right now at the plate. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation there. But, I mean, I guess I kind of look for a little bit more maturity from a guy that's been around the league a little bit now. He's been with the Jays a couple seasons. And I was just curious to know whether you noticed that tonight or not and, you know, what you think of that and if it's more of an isolated incident.
Well, I noticed that Farrell was talking to him. I noticed that Edwin Encarnacion went over and talked to him as well and made a joke or something, made him laugh. I think that that's part of the deal with Yunel Escobar. You take the bad with the good, and the bad is that sometimes he will sulk a little bit. Sometimes he will show a lack of maturity a little bit. Sometimes he's not going to hustle. But in the overall, the positives that you get from Escobar far, far, far outweigh the negatives. So I think you put up with it because he's a premier shortstop, defensively and offensively, despite the fact that he's not off to a great start this year. So, yeah, I saw it too, but I think it's just something you have to put up with, or as Winston Churchill said, up with which you must put. One more segment of the Blue Jays talk coming up. Some lines open at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Andrew Nye coming your way with a 20 update next on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
3-1 pitch belted to center field. Long drive. Back goes Colby Rasmus. He's running out of room. He's at the wall. He jumps, and it is gone. A home run for Wilson Betemeade, who's made 2 errors tonight, and now swings the bat for the first time and gives the Orioles a 1-0 lead here in the second.
Colby Rasmus could not have caught that ball. And I suggested Manute Bol might have been able to catch it. I didn't know he was dead. I can't believe Manute Bol has shuffled off this mortal coil. I'm upset by this news. At the age of 47. 2 years ago. I'm sorry. It's a fun, fun basketball player to watch. Andrew Nye just updated you on the Red Sox and Twins game. And the Twins have added another run. They now lead, they now trail the Red Sox, 7-6. And somebody just hit into a double play. I think it was Sean Burrows. Yeah, Sean Burrows just hit into a double play with the bases loaded to end the inning. So it is the Red Sox clinging to a 7-6 lead over the Minnesota Twins as they head to the top of the seventh. The Blue Jays thrilled with 6 runs because they probably have 2 wins in Baltimore instead of 2 losses. They have been outscored 5-1. So far in the series, they lost 3-0 tonight. This is a Blue Jays talk. I'm Mike Wilner, and we go to Don, who is somewhere. Welcome to the program, Don.
In Toronto.
All right, cool.
Good evening, Mike. Just state the obvious that one run in 18 innings is not going to cut it. And in the process, or sadly, two good pitching performances have been wasted. I have a question for you that's relevant.
Sure.
Is the Orioles pitching in these last two games that good, or is it because Jay's batters are not focused properly?
There can be a third reason. The Blue Jays aren't – a lack of focus isn't the only reason that you're going to get thumped two games in a row, right? And no matter how focused you are, you're still going to get out 65% of the time, right?
I see. Percentages, yeah.
Yeah, that's the way baseball tends to work. Tommy Hunter, I thought, got away with a lot last night.
Yeah.
I thought he hung a few pitches that the Blue Jays didn't take advantage of. So I didn't think he pitched particularly well last night. I thought Jason Hamill was pretty good tonight. But it's tough to tell. I mean, it really is. Unless you're dealing with those aces of the world that you expect to go out there and give up like a run on four hits every time they pitch, even though we know that's not going to happen. But unless it's one of those guys and a pedestrian pitcher like a Jason Hamill comes out and throws a game like this against the Blue Jays, you got to wonder, is it him or is it them?
Exactly.
The last couple of games, it certainly looks like it's them, but it could turn around very, very quickly.
And also, Eric Thames, I was disappointed last night when I couldn't get on. When a few of the Jays fans called in criticizing him on the ball that he failed to catch at the top of the wall in left field, he had a long run to get to the ball, and it appeared that he closed his glove too soon. That's what appeared to me, glanced off his glove. But do you think it would have hit the top of the wall or went over, even if he didn't? It didn't touch his glove.
I wasn't sure, but he said it would have stayed in the ballpark, so I'll take his word for it.
Well, he's honest about it.
Yeah.
He always gives 100% effort, and that's why I like him all the time. You know, 100% effort you're going to get out of him, win or lose or draw, you know.
I don't think there's any question about that, Don. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Jim in Toronto. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Mike, it's obvious we need a big middle bat. What are your thoughts on putting a trade together with Lind, Encarnacion, and Thames?
Four?
That's the question. Is there anybody out there that comes to mind?
An all-star middle order cleanup, power hitting, slugging bat that you're going to get for those three guys?
For those three guys, maybe some cash. Or it's got to be it's got to be a better deal than that. But that's a starting point.
I don't know I don't like talking about these kind of fantasy level trades because it's impossible to figure out. The Blue Jays have a guy who has been the best hitter in the major leagues the last 2 years as a middle of the order bat, who's not hitting right now, but this is something he's done before and gone on to have very good years. They certainly could use another bat to help him out if Adam Lind is not going to snap out of it and be the guy that he was a couple of years ago, or even be the guy that he was the first half of last year. And remember, too, that around now is about when Adam Lind started to take off last season. It was 20th of April. Something like that when he really started to go through the roof. But teams that are looking to move bats like
physically, though, doesn't he?
Pardon?
He seems to be having trouble physically.
No, not to me, doesn't. I don't know why you would suggest that.
Well, he's had back problems in the past.
Yes, but he doesn't seem to be having any trouble right now.
Not right now, no.
No.
But throughout the course of a season. So
yeah.
April
25th. Last year on April 25th, Adam Lind was hitting .235 with a .609 OPS, mm-hmm. which is much, 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 much worse than he's doing right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's still early. You're
and
right.
From that point to July 9th, from April 26th to July 9th, Adam Lind hit .341 with a .1016 OPS. And then
hurt
his
back.
Let's
hope he can do it again.
That'd be swell. That'd be swell.
I like Adam. I think he's a good, solid player when he's on.
I think, though, to your question, Jim, and I appreciate the call, if the Blue Jays are going to get a big time middle of the order bat, they're not going to get it with Lynn, Thames, and Encarnacion. They're going to get it with the kids, with guys who aren't in the major leagues right now, with the possible exception of Hutchison, maybe Drabeck, something like that. That's what it's going to cost them as a starting point. Hutchison, Drabeck, Darno, Gose, maybe even the Nicolino, Syndergaard, Sanchez's of the world. That's what it's going to take. Not these guys. It's gone to Baltimore. David is in Baltimore. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing all right, thank you.
I just want to say, you know, a couple things. First of all, I was at the game tonight with my friends. And
cool. Are you from Baltimore, or you just went from
no,
Toronto?
No, I'm from Toronto. I'm born and bred in Toronto.
Nice work.
I'm in school in Baltimore.
Oh, all right.
Yes, that's nice. So I went to the game, and you had some calls earlier saying how the Jays just don't look focused and, you know, the hitting was a little down. I think that however disappointed I was tonight, they really got owned by Josh Hamill.
Jason Hamill.
He really owned them. Jason, sorry.
It certainly looked like it.
I mean, he really, you know, he had their number tonight.
Like I said before, it's impossible to know whether it was him or whether it was them, right?
Yeah, but I'm saying, I don't know, at the game, I just they didn't feel it tonight. He controlled the Jays, controlled the crowd. He had everything tonight going for him tonight.
Okay, good to know. First-hand look from Camden Yards. Thank you, David. Appreciate the call all the way from Baltimore. I love that we have Jays Talk callers from the cities in which the Jays are playing. Happens every once in a while. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. Let's go back home, though. Listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Joni is in Scarborough. Joni.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good. I'm going to bypass the easy Chachi joke.
Yeah, please.
What do you got for me?
Okay, Colby Rasmus.
Yes.
Love the way he plays.
Yes.
I know that his bat's going to come around.
Yes.
He's got no personality.
That's not true.
Did you see the interview the day after he hit the two home runs?
No, but I've seen that. I've talked to him a whole bunch of times.
Well, just before the game, they have an interview with Colby Rasmus.
Okay.
And the interviewer says to him, "When was the last time you had this much fun playing baseball?" I don't know.
But so why is that a bad thing?
Well, okay, you're making millions of dollars a year to play a game.
He's not, but yes, I understand in the grand
right?
scheme.
I mean, at least crack a smile once in a while.
He's a happy guy.
You know, run, crack a smile. You make a great play in the field, you know? He looks miserable all the time.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
He just looks like himself. He's expressionless. But he doesn't look miserable.
Well,
but I don't understand why that's important.
It's not important, but
okay.
This is not just, I mean.
But you don't want it to be fake, do you?
No.
I mean, I guess it's okay. There have been a lot of Blue Jays in the past who have been huge phonies when there are television cameras on them, and people have loved them. So,
here's the thing.
All right.
Yes, it's a game.
Yes.
It's also a PR game.
Well, no. I mean, yeah. I guess if you want endorsements and stuff, but look, there are two Blue Jays who have endorsements. Jose Bautista has one and Colby has one with a car dealership. So,
yeah, but, you know, it looks
I just don't
having fun. You want to draw fans into the park.
Win ball games.
Win ball games.
I mean,
but, you know,
look
at least
remember the 15 minutes in the home opener, right? The Colby's big 15 minutes in the home opener. He made that fantastic catch in center field. And then two batters later, he's leading off and hits the triple.
Right.
And everybody loved it.
Right.
He had the exact same expression on his face.
From the outset, I love the way he
I know, but, but I'm saying he had the exact same expression on his face then.
I know, and that drives me crazy. You just made a great play in the field. You just hit a home run.
He's happy, but he's just, I mean, that's his personality. He is a very, very laid-back guy, and different people react different ways to different situations. I think that he's just, I mean, that's who he is. It doesn't affect his play on the field. He's a very good baseball player. You know, how often did, trying to think of somebody from the great World Series years who didn't smile very much. How often did Jack Morris smile? You know, how often did Devon White smile? you don't need the smile tool to be a successful major league. I get where you're coming from, but it doesn't matter as long as you play well. Does anyone complain about Kelly Johnson not smiling? I appreciate the call. I do. I just think that, you know, you're kind of getting caught up in something that in the grand scheme is irrelevant. Curtis is in Toronto. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
All right, thanks.
I totally agree with your last comment, by the way. We don't get these guys, like, you know, for their personality. They're here to produce, you know?
Right.
Anyway, I just want to say, like, I noticed, you know, like, I'm a huge Jays fan, but I have to admit, like, you know, when I seen the preseason, you know, it kind of worried me a little bit because I think, you know, these guys are putting too much pressure on themselves right now. Like, everything over the plate, they're getting caught looking and they're swinging at stuff outside. You know, especially Edwin, he popped up like four times yesterday.
He's hitting 300, Curtis.
No, I know, but, you know, he's maybe an exception, and I don't have a problem with the team.
Well, you just said especially him.
Well, yesterday he popped up four times.
Okay, yesterday.
It was frustrating, Mike.
One game.
But you know what? Watching these games lately, it's just, you know, it's
watching,
you know,
these last two games, right? Because remember, they won the four before.
No, I totally agree. But okay. it was Kansas City who is a.
It doesn't matter.
But,
it doesn't,
you know,
matter. Four wins are four wins.
I just remember talking to my friends, and we were talking about Baltimore at the start of the year. And
yep.
You know, like, I just.
And we all expect them to be awful.
Yeah.
Right. And so you expect the Blue Jays to win by 15 runs every time they play Baltimore.
No, I just, I want to see these guys get into the playoffs so bad, man. Like, you know, those World Series teams, like, we were totally spoiled. Those are some of the best teams ever assembled.
Those were great teams. And you know what? For 5 years, the Blue Jays were in the playoffs in 5 years, four times back when only four teams made the playoffs in baseball. And you did get spoiled. And they will get back there. But they probably won't get back there this year. They might, but they probably won't. And that's okay as long as they continue to build and develop and they get a little bit better. So, yeah, don't get too upset over two losses in a row. The music means we have to go. Jeff Sammet is standing on the other side of the glass. He looks angry. He wants to talk about hockey. Rick Natras is probably going to cross-check me, my head into the glass, if I don't get off the air. I understand. I will make way for the hockey folk, and they will talk about the Boston Bruins losing. The Stanley Cup champions are out of the playoffs. The Blue Jays lose 3-0. We're back tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern. Make sure you're with us. Thanks to Boris Hernandez and Dan Riccio. I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Toronto.